Welcome to AllView 360, All Things Real Estate Podcast, with your hosts, Daniel Gutierrez and Shannon Dempsey. We explore real estate from every angle, giving you insights, tools, and confidence to make smart decisions that support your future. It's time for a new perspective on property. Welcome to AllView 360.
Hello. Shannon here with Daniel.
Hi, everybody.
I'm very excited because this is our first time recording like this. So it's either going to go really well or not. Are you just as excited?
Yeah. I generally enjoy our office studio with our pre-white wine. Would it be?
Appetizer?
Yeah, appetizer. I was going to say pre-workout, but yeah.
Well, we can't do that here because then we'd be drinking alone.
Okay.
So that doesn't work. Okay, and I'm excited about the topic today because we are going to be discussing professionalism amongst agents, mainly because of a specific interaction that you had that directly impacted the overall outcome for all the clients, which is, it kind of was, you know, unprofessional on steroids.
Yeah.
But since that happened a couple weeks ago, I've noticed, and I don't know if it's the shift of the market or the stress of the market, whatever it might be, but I feel like everyone's having some sort of twinge of being unprofessional.
Yeah.
And so I thought it'd be good to kind of go over all of that, the things that we're seeing. But I want to start with your email experience.
Well, to your point, I was chatting with another broker, Jason, who we both know and like a lot.
Love Jason.
And he was saying that he's experienced it over the years, and he's had his license for, I don't know, like 25 years somehow. And he was saying that...
Did he get it when he was 10? What the heck?
Yeah, pretty much. Cool. And he was saying that as the market gets more difficult and transactions slow down, agents often get more aggressive, more unprofessional, more difficult to work with because they get more stressed, and it's a direct reflection of their financial position, which mm-hmm. is unfortunate, but I think as we've experienced over the years, probably pretty true.
Or I think probably a combination, probably largely impacted by the financial situation, but also just the overall pressure, like constantly feeling like you're not delivering on what you should be delivering on or what you know you can deliver on, and it's just not happening. And if you're an anxious person or, you know, whatever, I don't know what to describe it. You're up at night stressed about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that there's many non-anxious people in real estate, whether they weren't anxious before they got into the industry and became anxious because of the industry, or were just naturally anxious and gravitated towards real estate.
I think all of the above. But I want to start with your email, because that's what triggered all of this. And I think about it often, and it's shocking to me. I haven't experienced anything like that. I don't think it's a common way. Do you want to kind of tell us what happened? Or yeah.
So absolutely. Background story, helping some long-term clients who are pretty large investors buy another property. We've been helping them buy and sell for 5+ years. We manage many rentals for them. Great family, just awesome story, super easy to work with. And one of those clients that really puts their faith and trust in us to do right for them. So we work really hard to make sure we live up to that trust and that expectation. Found them an awesome townhome in Costa Mesa. It would have converted into a great rental, great cash flow, great long-term appreciation. They're all cash buyers, so that makes things a lot easier. You know, the market's not wonderful right now. So I had been...
Well, for reference, what month did this happen?
Went into escrow and fell out of escrow in the month of May.
Okay.
So
I mean, the market's gotten worse since, but yeah, it was not good then.
Well, this property had hit the market, I believe, early April. It had gone through a pretty significant price drop, and I was watching it for a while, and it had gone through a pretty significant price drop. So we went in, we put an offer in, all cash, quick close, clean, easy. During the inspection process, we found that there were some issues, nothing crazy, nothing that should have been a deal killer, but a few issues. Primarily,
I saw that report. It was pretty, like things that you would think would be normal to request, but nothing super, super.
So for perspective, the dishwasher wouldn't turn on, HVAC wouldn't turn on, and a few little things here and there. You know, things that should be relatively easy to fix. So, and also too, the community was a smaller HOA, so it wasn't professionally managed. And overall, we went into escrow fairly quick close, all cash. Like I was saying, it should have been super simple. We did the inspection. We did the request for repairs on the HVAC and the dishwasher, the other stuff. We didn't even bother. You know, sure enough, we send it out. The agent is being very, very dodgy in regards to committing to the work being done. It comes back and says, hey, the HVAC is new. It's under warranty. The vendor is already fixing it, but the parts are not available. So you're going to have to wait a few months for them to be delivered and repaired. But it shouldn't be an issue. I'm like, okay, like not great, but fine. Send me the contact information.
Reasonable,
the warranty yeah. For the HVAC. Let me just verify and then verify that the dishwasher is being repaired, replaced. And he's like, okay, great. So he sends me the quote or the receipt for the HVAC repair. And it was written on something you would see like from a Home Depot, like a generic Home Depot triplicate receipt, like nothing.
Like a carbon copy.
The carbon copy. Yeah, nothing that gave me a bunch of confidence.
What Home Depot is giving you carbon copy
receipts? You can buy the carbon copy receipts at Home
Depot. Oh, you mean buy the pad. I thought you meant you're shopping at Home Depot.
Yeah, and the pad.
I thought you had a special Home Depot. Okay.
I do. look up the company on Google. I can't find them. I can't find them on Google. They don't have a Yelp page. They don't have a Google page. I was able to find them through like those random like business listings. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. And it was a nighttime when I was doing this. So I call the next morning, no answer. Call that afternoon and get an answer from a guy who sounds like he just got out of bed. Introduced myself, told him who I was, what I was inquiring about. And he goes, I don't know why you're calling me. I already told you it'd be fixed. This is a waste of my time. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm just doing my due diligence for my clients. Could you like tell me more, give me more information, and just kind of hung up on me. I'm like, okay, not great. So, spoke with the seller's agent, and the seller's agent was like hardcore defensive. And then the story changed from this is being done to this will be done once you close. Same thing with the dishwasher. So I asked him, I'm like, look, like, we need to ensure that this is going to be done. And if the whole HVAC is broken, like that's a big issue. Dishwasher, not as much, but you said it was going to be done. So show me that you're doing what you said you would do. And then
he was wanting it to be done after contingency removal or after close of escrow.
So the HVAC wasn't going to be done at all. I just needed proof that there was a warranty and there was a reputable company that was going to do the work. And we were generally fine with that. But I guess that's fairly standard, right? That's not a big deal. But you very much work off of the faith and trust that you have with the other agent that they're going to do the right thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all
the vendor.
Have. And that's all we have. So I have to do what's best for my client. So I'm doing that research. And then sure enough, I get a notice to perform. We didn't even have escrow docs yet. We didn't have HOA docs yet. And I get a notice to perform and I respond right away. I'm like, hey, man, this is a bit aggressive. We don't have HOA docs. And I think we just got in escrow docs. And I'm like, and you've provided no proof that you're getting any of this done. You first said it was already being done. Then you changed your story and said, it's going to be done once you remove all contingencies. I'm like, okay, it doesn't give me a bunch of confidence.
And it's notice to perform for what? Contingency removal?
To remove contingencies, yeah.
All of them?
All of them. It was all cash. So the only contingency we had was inspection.
Okay.
So sure enough, sends me the notice to perform. I call him out. I'm like, look, we don't have this. We don't have that. You've changed your story on this. And then I also mentioned the fact that the HVAC vendor we spoke to did not ensue confidence, right? It was questionable. And then
you did say something, to be fully transparent. What did you call the receipt?
Something that my gardener would give me.
Or tissue paper or something?
No, I think my gardener gives me. And honestly, like, that's what my gardener gives me.
This is where
he gives me the carbon copy receipt from Home Depot.
So this was like a little bit of a poke.
But also too, like, very professional. I'm like, hey, we're working on this. We're working together to get this done. My client's very, very eager to buy the home, really likes it. Like, let's work together.
We're not trying to cancel a deal here.
Yeah,
we're trying to just,
this doesn't make sense to push on this, do a notice perform for these things that you clearly haven't fulfilled your duty and obligations on, and we don't even have all the documents yet. And I told him, I'm like, look, if you insist on this, you're going to find yourself back on market. Because at the end of the day, I need to do right by my clients. I'm not going to tell them to buy a home that we just need to go, or that we'll then need to go and replace an HVAC unit on.
Right. And I'm going to tell them all of this.
Yeah, yeah. Dishwasher not a big deal, but an HVAC, you know, you're 10 grand depending on the unit. So then he sends me a super, super harsh response, like so much so that I started laughing. It was so like beyond ridiculous. And goes real hardcore on me, to the tune, like I have it here in front of me, but starts berating my experience, saying that, I don't know what I'm doing, that, well, let's
see. Can you just read it? Because it's, the gist is
said,
way
condescending tone. And I'm going to read it as is, so it doesn't all flow right. But condescending tone, nor attempting to patronize me, will only worsen the remainder of escrow for you and everyone here. So stop now. I'm being light right now. I'm not the one. You alleged me serving notice perform was aggressive. You haven't seen aggressive. I will get you verification of the dishwasher. Let me know how we can hold your hand on the furnace once you call the number of your of the gardener-esque invoice. Shall we delay close for an unknown period of time until you feel satisfied knowing that a back-ordered part has arrived? Maybe your client is so concerned that they don't proceed over a furnace to heat a home in Costa Mesa in 85-degree plus weather. I know this is a massive deal for them, and we can certainly, and we certainly don't want them to get frostbite. The HOA isn't a corporate run company. I imagine you have a phone like Tyler and do your due diligence. This is the kind of thing that we are not responsible for other than to provide you what we've given you. You will have more documents tomorrow coming from me personally. As I hunted them down today, I imagine you will need a lifetime to review them too. So know that. Feel free to do so. We want you guys to feel comfortable as possible, because without hot air and a dishwasher in Costa Mesa, homeownership would be overrated. Look, man, we're all rookies here. You are doing a great job, and I will really try to pay more attention to how deals should be done. It's been a masterclass so far. My response is, I think you have an anger problem. And while this approach may work with others, it won't work with me. I'm going to do what I need to do for my clients. If that doesn't work for you, you may just find yourself back on market. Save us both a headache and don't bother responding to this email.
So far we're like heated, but not.
Yeah. And then his response is, find me back on market, but you won't. You'll be a good boy and collect your check that I made happen for you. Another self-entitled UCLA kid masquerading as a realtor with less than 30 transactions. Magnificent. Adorable. I'm not angry. I just don't like posers, especially self-important ones. Not going to waste my time. Deflate your chest. Do your job. I'll see you with the contingency removal soon. Kissy face.
The kissy face kills me.
Yeah. Thereafter, it's, then I spoke to my clients, told them the potential risks, being, hey, this is a good deal, for you, but there's risks because we ultimately can't trust this agent. We can't confirm that the work was done. I spoke with the HVAC vendor, and I'm not exactly confident in who they are, what they're doing. And I told them all the information, went over all the communications, and they decided to back out because they weren't comfortable with the terms of the deal or the credibility of the work being done. So I said, hi, thanks for the colorful commentary. I'll leave the personal attacks and name calling to you, as that seems more your brand. I respect, I represent my clients with professionalism and integrity, regardless of how others choose to conduct themselves. If providing documentation, meeting contractual obligations, and advocating for my buyers offensive to you, then perhaps we have different definitions of doing our jobs. My client decided to cancel escrow. Please send over the signed cancellation so we can move forward with leasing deposits per the terms of this agreement. Wishing you the best of luck.
Nice.
And then response is, laugh out loud, no problem. Next response thereafter, will you be providing context for the sellers? Usually professionalism includes that. I'm certain it's not over not over a heater nor agent bickering. Sounds like cold feet. You don't have to, but it's common courtesy between buyers and sellers. I said, for context, you should send your clients these emails. And then the response is, haha, what a weak response. Did someone hurt your feelings? Maybe you need a safe place. It's okay. Let's talk it up. Let's chalk it up to incompetence and further proof you are a proser and can't close. Sugarcoat whatever you wish. My clients love me and know everything that's going on. You are a coward who lost control of a deal with their buyers who got cold feet. Nothing more. Happens all the time. Not all of us could be proper leaders. Moving on. I got lots to close, unlike some other agents on this thread. Yeah. The whole thing was great. Like,
okay. Awesome. Impressive.
And then fast forward to was last week, and now we're in escrow on a much better deal that's going to produce much better cash flow and be a much better situation with actually some awesome agents that have been awesome to work with. And it's been great so far.
Is he still on the market with that one?
He's still on the market.
They're back on the market, not in escrow.
Yeah.
Okay. So love the whole exchange.
Yeah.
Like, belongs on a TV show or something, which might be the world he's living in or thinks he, I don't know.
Yeah.
Couple of questions. One, it obviously felt good to have the deal canceled because of how he was behaving. However, that was not your guidance as to a reason to cancel the escrow, like he accused you of. It was
right.
The integrity, reliability on going basically off someone's word on a huge repair after the fact, that person's word.
That's all this industry is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're fiduciaries. We have a license. We have, code of ethics. But at the end of the day, if someone's unethical, you can't rely on them to do anything. And not only that, but my other concern is if this is how he's doing business, what about if something was missed? What about if there was an issue with the transaction with escrow? We can't rely on someone like that to do the right thing now or in the future. And things do happen. It's not common, but things do happen. And generally, you work with the agent to make things right. This person isn't someone that we could trust or rely on to do the right thing now or ever.
So I had all sorts of emotions about this. The first one was to laugh because it was crazy. But then I thought, so I know you are not the one, right? So if he's coming at you hard, you handled it well, that's fine. I think you're the exception in that category. I would not have handled that well. I would have let it rattle me. It would have, caused a lot of mental, it just would have worn me out. I know a ton of agents that would not have known what to do. I would have just been emotionally bothered by it. He probably bullies other people, other agents, maybe newer agents, into doing what he thinks should be done with that behavior if they're scared to stand up to it or don't want to engage or whatever it might be. And the fact that that standard or that is happening out there in our industry kills me.
Well, that's a conversation you and I had. Mm-hmm. It's how do we address this for our industry, for the people we know? Because for me, yeah, it didn't faze me at all. Like, it was more jaw-dropping that someone acts like that in our society, in our profession. Not too surprising. I know there's people like that, but to actually encounter them was jaw-dropping for me. And like, I handled it well. I could care less. Like, this is a long-term client. We're a cash buyer in a pretty terrible market. Like, we have all the ability to go somewhere else, as we did. But for him to treat others like that, like, so much so where the escrow officer, not even an escrow officer I've ever worked with or know, called me to apologize for him.
So it was his escrow officer.
His escrow officer, yeah. Baffling.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about it from you directly. I mean, I did after the fact, but I've had some crazy agents, which is why we've been having this conversation, or not crazy agents, but just high emotion, high, very reactive situations. And we have the same TC. So she sees my deal and she's, like, whoa, another wild situation and stuff. And then she just texts me out of nowhere, oh my God, ask Daniel. He's topped the cake with an agent on the other side. And so then that was kind of how I first heard about it. But when other people who normally just kind of keep things, keep things quiet or shocked.
Also, too, like, he spent enough time to do research on me and how many transactions I've done, where I went to school, everything. So kind of also flattered.
Flattered.
Yeah.
And the fact that he mentioned in the last email, like, my clients know me, they love me, they know everything that's going on. makes me think that that's probably not the case. Me, it's like, maybe there are people out there, sellers out there that appreciate that sort of tactic. Glad it's working out for them while they're still on the market.
Yeah.
But I would guess that they didn't know.
I mean, they didn't know. And unfortunately, that's like what gives some people in our industry, or gives our industry kind of a bad name at times, because he totally didn't do right by his sellers. And now they're still on market where they could have closed a month ago and, you know, super easy and simple transaction.
Mm-hmm. So this leads to the question of what's unprofessional in the market right now, and know who you're hiring and how do they do that. So,
yeah. Well, also too, for the agents who are listening, how to act ethically. People will find out, it will impact you. And also too, like, I'll never write an offer on anything that guy is ever representing again. But I've also spoken with other agents in the industry who have worked with him, and they say he's kind of like this all the time. And he mentioned some things that I think were questionable to me at the beginning, like questionable fair housing comments that I just kind of didn't pay much attention to. But yeah, now it all makes sense. This guy shouldn't be in our industry. He shouldn't be a broker. He shouldn't be doing transactions. And his clients probably have no idea the disservice he's doing them.
After it all kind of played out, is there anything you would have done differently if you could go back with all of the interaction?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it. You can't send a notice to perform when we don't even have all the documents yet. I don't know if I would have done anything differently. At the end of the day, and I unfortunately, like, this is going back to a different topic, I've done deals and transactions with people who ended up being very unethical, and it causes a lot more pain and damage. You're trying to get the deal done for the sake of getting the deal done, but at the end of the day, it wasn't worth it. I mean, you know, one that we won't go into yet, but a transaction I did in November of 23 that I'm still dealing with because the people on the other side were unethical, lied, and committed fraud, and we're still going through it all.
That wasn't residential resale. That was a bigger...
No, that was different. We won't go into the details yet, but yeah, not great.
No, it's, yeah, and it all comes down, I mean, it matters. The kind of person that you hire, the kind of personality, the traits that they exhibit in all aspects of the life ultimately come through in the decisions they make throughout the transaction.
Yeah.
And
going back to...
your friend?
No, going back to my previous career in healthcare, you know, the joke, what do you call a doctor who finished last, or what do you call a med student who finished last in their class?
A doctor.
Well, hey, let me go back, because stuttering. A joke that is in my previous industry, healthcare, what do you call a med student who finished last in their class? Doctor, right? Yeah, so that's still the person treating you. And I knew, unfortunately, some physicians who I wouldn't trust treating me or anyone I knew. And ultimately, it's kind of the same thing within real estate. They got a real estate license, which is not difficult to get. And now they practice real estate and could very much do disservices and damage to our industry, our clients, and you know, our general society.
Yeah, the bar is low.
It is.
I think more often than not, it's a good interaction with the agent on the other side. And I can usually tell during the initial offer phase, one side or the other, if it's going to be someone that's going to be enjoyable to work with, know their stuff. What I've run into a couple times now, and they threw me because I could tell they'd been in the industry for a long time. They knew what they were doing. They had, you know, all the right team in place. It was wonderful. But two separate agents, two separate situations, I ran into very reactive tantrums, you know, without being too mean. One of them so bad that I said, hey, let's hang up. Let's chat tomorrow. Take a breath. And she ended up calling the next day, happy that that was kind of how I guided that conversation. But when I looked back to understand what was happening, one was regarding an EV charger and one was regarding solar. So those are relatively new to the industry items to address during a transaction, right? Solar hasn't been around forever. It's evolved in its time here. So the way that we handle solar is ever changing and something that you need experience in. And then the EV chargers, those were just added not too long ago, and a whole other thing that you have to negotiate and make sure works for all parties. Both of these agents had been in the industry for a very long time, 30 years, both told me. They have done a lot of transactions. They, you know, they knew it. And as soon as they hit something where they, I'm assuming, didn't continue training or
their education, their growth,
their education. Yeah. They spiraled and it went crazy. And so I do think that part of being professional is staying up with all of that too. Cause if you cannot speak to, properly guide through the current market, then it's a disservice to your client as well. So one of those ended up costing the cost of an EV charger, you know, for the transaction. And but neither like crazy, crazy expensive mistakes, but something that their client wouldn't have known or maybe didn't even realize, because I don't know what they heard on the other end.
The level question. Do you think that those two items made those conversations more electrifying?
Stupid. Possibly.
Okay. Just a random question. But you made the joke like the 30 years in the industry. Mm-hmm. Some of those agents, I think, are the most difficult to work with because they're so set in their ways. They've never changed. They've never adapted. They've never grown. Like so much so where like some of them say things like, oh my God, that's not true. That's not right. Like not only that, sometimes what they say is like completely legal. They're so set in their ways. They, I think, do a disservice to their clients where 30 years of experience should show you how to do business, how to grow, how to evolve with the industry, with the times, with everything. And unfortunately, some people rest on their laurels, dig in and don't adapt to the times. And it's unfortunate. And also too, unfortunate for their clients because they're doing a disservice with the service without them ever knowing.
Yeah. And that the never knowing part is it, the amount of times I wish I could call the client, like, are you aware of what's happening or who you're paying tens of thousands of dollars to?
Yeah.
To ultimately net you less or cause you problems or put you at risk for a lawsuit later on down the road. They just, people don't have any idea. And it's scary.
Yeah.
But okay. And then the other thing, what do you remember this week that has happened twice? And so I've gone down, it has never happened to me. And then it happened twice in this last couple of weeks with final walkthroughs.
Oh, yeah.
And then you and I had differing stances on it.
I do want to mention that I very much appreciate the difficulty of this job when you're in between a difficult client, a difficult transaction, and then trying to be the intermediary with multiple parties involved. Like it can get very difficult, but it is our job as the real estate professionals, the agents, the brokers, whatever it might be, to diffuse the situation, bring in logic into an emotional transaction, and try to just get things done in the most professional and effective manner. So I very much appreciate that. So do you. But we have to remember that we have to stay professional. We have to do what's best for the client, what's best for the transaction, and also do the right thing.
Do the right thing. And yeah, and definitely, I think it's hard to manage clients right now. So the one scenario, the final walkthrough, that was two clients that were doing the final walk, or two agents that were doing the final walkthrough with their buyers, scheduled them, and then both were upset in some capacity that the house was not completely vacant at the time of the final walkthrough. Mm-hmm. Both times, one was 4 days and one was 3 days prior to the close of escrow. Both times, sellers were moving into a lease scenario and moving out all of the final items the night before or morning of the close of escrow. And both confidently said that it is required that the property be vacant at the time of the final walkthrough, which was the first time I'd ever heard that implied. And then when I heard it the second time, or the first time, it was the first time I heard it. But when I heard it the second time so shortly after that, I did a deep dive because I didn't know. I'm like,
are you wrong?
How did I miss this? Yeah. Am I wrong? If it's happened twice, what am I doing wrong? I thought back to all my final walkthroughs with both buyers and sellers. Oftentimes, the sellers are still there with all of their stuff, showing the buyer around. It's not, you know, it's ideal if the property's fully cleared out, but it's not a requirement. And that's, I've had agents request the stuff be fully cleared out. So I call the stager ahead of time. You know, I've removed it myself. I get that and very kind. My clients really want to see it without anything on the walls, blah, blah, blah. And if that's a preference and that's fine, but I've never been strong-armed or have people be upset that expectation wasn't met.
Well, my logical brain immediately goes to, well, if that's a requirement, when is the final walkthrough required to happen?
Yes. So I think this is something that I'm going to now implement on both sides, because your response was like, yeah, that's the expectation, that you're walking through the property with nothing in it. And then
when it happens is the question.
Yeah, when it happens. So if you ChatGPT or Google it, it says, yes, the expectation is that the property is cleared by the final walkthrough. So I'm like, oh, shit. So then I went to the actual contract. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not a requirement, early move out or anything like that. So then how do we address it, right? It's mismanaged expectations on two different sides. And we all know that final few days is what it's like, always like an airplane taking off. It's rocky, then it's smooth. And then those final few days, sometimes it's crashing. And in this case,
my general philosophy is I want to do the final inspection within 24 hours of closing. I want to know as close to closing as possible the condition of that home, not do it a week before, 4 days before, 3 days before. Because within those 3 days, a lot of things could happen. A pipe could burst, you know, it could be broken into, could be vandalized. I want to get it as close to closing as possible. So that 4 to 3 days, I don't think that's reasonable at all.
Agreed. If you're doing the final walkthrough on a Tuesday and we close on Friday, yes, the sellers still own the home for several days. Their stuff is still in there. They have not moved out. So now I kind of chalk this up to the shift from the seller's market to the buyer's market. Buyers kind of were running the show, you know, as much as they were able to, but it got to a point where, no, you're not telling, they're not moving out. So you can feel comfortable for 4 days of them paying, you know, whatever it might be. So I had to readjust my templates and everything that I used to communicate, right? So the new plan, since it is an expectation but not contractual requirement, is sellers, if your buyers are doing their final walkthrough, try to have as much off the walls. Everything is visible as much as possible. You're moving, we understand it. And buyers, if you want everything out, we're going to time that properly and communicate to the listing side. When will it be vacant? If that means it's 2 hours before the close, then that's when it's going to be. And then that's when you have to do your final walkthrough. Yeah.
Another point that you brought up and you asked me is, what do we do on seller leasebacks? And, you know, fortunately and unfortunately for us, we have a large management portfolio. So work with a lot of investors across Southern California. And we do purchases where we do a seller leaseback. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, those are disasters because the sellers are selling the home. They're renting it back from the buyers. There's an inspection done, but they're fully living there. And then they move out and there's holes all over the walls. There's all of the damages that were hidden by all of the furniture and all their belongings. And now the sellers are like, well, this is what you bought. The buyer's like, I didn't see any of this. And it's generally a mess.
A mess. Yeah, and not fun. And as we kind of shift into this, I think it got out of hand with what buyers had to put up with to purchase a property. I will say that. I was one of them, right? Like in that crazy time, it's what you had to agree to even get your foot in the door. And then what you had to accept during the transaction and condition of the property was unfair, if I'm being honest. But that has shifted.
The pendulum has swung.
It's what?
The pendulum has swung.
The pendulum has swung. And so now I think we're going to start kind of seeing different things pop up in a buyer's market. We haven't really had a buyer's market in like a
long
decade,
time.
Right? Like over a decade. Yeah. So I'm like, it's just, I'm prepared for what different odd things are going to pop up, but I have no idea what they're going to actually be. And we'll see how it goes.
I think it's also going to be a shift in the mindset of the seller, because for the seller for so long, and especially those who don't keep up on the real estate market, still think that they have all the power. They're going to be able to list super high and get whatever they ask for. And that's just not reality. So it will take some time for the market to catch up to the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
And also, too, the situation is changing so frequently that it may not happen for quite a while.
I know. And I guess the whole point of this entire topic is for agents to be prepared for that sort of thing I am a reactive person by nature. And in both of those scenarios, I was able to stay calm because I work really hard at that, right? But that would be, I'm nervous for myself with what's going to be popping up because it's going to be new situations. And so if you're typically reactive, maybe write a little post-it or something, remind yourself like, it's just a shifting market and there's going to be unprofessional responses to things and weird tactics and people trying to cut corners and break rules and stay
if
calm.
If you're having a heated email conversation, when in doubt, run it through ChatGPT and ask it to make it nice for you.
I know that guy definitely didn't. What if he said, make this meaner? That could have been his intention.
That would actually be
and
really
what fun. If he said, write insults for Daniel Gutierrez?
Yeah.
And then that's how they pulled all your information. I'm going to angry email you after this, see what happens.
Yeah.
I feel like we're running on time, like short on time, but I have a million more things.
Well, I mean, we could talk about this forever. And just know, like, this industry is about reputation. Eventually, mm-hmm. people will find out. They're going to start refusing to do deals with you. And guess what? Like, if you can't sell properties, if you can't get properties under contract because people are refusing to work with you, you're dead in the water.
You're dead in the water. Yeah, word does get around. I can name three. I know Chasen mentioned this too. Like, I have a list. I have three agents on it. Specifically, either I've had experiences with them or someone that I know and trust has had an experience with them that has blown me out of the water. And they are on my list and they will stay on my list. I will share it with other people in the area. Have you ever worked with this person? Because people do that as well. They'll call around. You eventually will come across a moment where it's going to screw you over, screw your client over.
Probably you're going to do it to the wrong person and you're going to find yourself in a very costly lawsuit.
Did that agent technically contractually do anything wrong with, like, if his sellers did, well, he says they know and love him. So clearly they are wonderful as well. But let's say they don't know and they came across it and they were able to prove that their deal fell through and now their house is on the market, potentially selling it for less, all because of the lack of integrity of their listing agent. Is that an actual?
I mean, if they could prove damages, yeah, I think it would be a difficult one. But I think one that could have some teeth to it, because there's very likely going to be damages. They're still on market. No one's buying. And even if they weren't, they're just the holding cost of this home being vacant. It's not good for anybody.
Unprofessional to a max.
Yeah. So another topic I wanted to talk about, Shannon, is the difficulty of maintaining ethics and ethical behaviors in practice while working with a difficult client. I've had that over the years where the client's like, don't worry about this, don't say this, don't do that, not a big deal type, like put it under the rug. Not people I like working with, not people I want to work with. And I think fortunately enough now, not people I will work with. But for agents, sometimes they don't have the luxury of being able to say no. And, you know, how do you go about maintaining your ethics, your values while working with clients like that?
When the client on the other side's unethical. So someone with...
Or no, even the client on your side.
Oh. I have come across... because right now, right, you have to be very out of the box with your marketing and we're doing all sorts of things to market our clients' properties and all of that in this wonderful, slow, slow, slow-paced market. So I have had suggestions come through from clients of, have you thought about this to market the home? Are you doing this? And they're not, they're fair housing violations or, you know, whatever it might be. And I've had to push back and explain, you know, I see where you're coming from. This is why this can't happen within the industry or here, you know, I say it in a much nicer way.
Yeah.
But that's the closest I think I've had to unethical requests from a buyer, because they're not unethical people. They just don't know the rules.
Yeah.
Have you had anyone demand that you do something that...
Yeah, I mean, we've had the people who, in a roundabout way, whether they just straight up ask us to break fair housing laws or in a roundabout way try to get us to break fair housing laws. And I'm, you know, straight up, especially now in my practice and my career, it's like, if this is what you mean, no. If this is what you're expecting, no. This is what we do. We follow the rules. We follow the laws. This is what we're going to do. If this doesn't align, we understand and we wish you the best of luck.
Yeah. And I have a feeling that we're going to come across a lot of different marketing techniques from people, probably not even realizing that they're breaking all sorts of rules.
Yeah.
But learn as you go is an
also
approach for some.
Clients, buyers and sellers, they have to know that if their agent breaks the law, they're going to be just as liable for what their agent does as if they were to do it themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what are your key takeaways?
Oh, be ethical, do the right thing, know who you're working with.
What top three questions would you as a seller ask the agent to identify quickly their experience level, integrity level?
That's difficult. I think for experience and integrity, I mean, you could look at their experience. You could see the transactions they've done. But most importantly, beyond the experience, they have to align with you. How are they going to sell for you? How are they going to work for you? How are they going to deliver on their promises? One of the questions we ask a lot now is just tell us your core values. What's important to you and why do you do this? I think that tells a lot.
Yeah, I like that. I think I would straight up ask, just knowing what I know now, if I were interviewing an agent, knowing what I know now, I would straight up ask, like, what is your reputation within the industry? How do you approach other agents? Do you come from a collaborative standpoint or are you immediately competing? And for me, the answer I would be looking for would be a collaborative approach to everything with other agents. Maybe other people would like the opposing view, but I would be asking that. I would also, if they had been in the industry a long time, I would ask, how recently have you done transactions? Just because I know I would clarify, I know things change. So have you stayed up to date with everything? I'm so excited about your level of experience. I just want to make sure that nothing new is going to pop your way that's going to throw you off. Or
the difficult thing there is people are generally going to tell you what they think they want or what they think you want to hear. They're not going to tell you, no, I'm not collaborative. I'm going to do whatever I need to. I'll kill for you. Like, that could be cool, but not. I think they're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. And I don't know if you're going to get the right answer. And also, too, to our points earlier, just because they're doing transactions doesn't mean they know what they're doing.
True. Okay, well, to build on that, if they asked me, have you stayed up to date on the current changes in the market and all this and that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to say yes, and I don't feel truly that I have, I'm going to go figure, like, it's a level of accountability that you're setting from the beginning.
And not everyone has that. So one of the things I ask is, how do you stay up to date on current trends and laws, and tell me about it? And I want to hear about it.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
And if they do, they'll have an answer.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Okay. I think we can do a million episodes on unprofessional agents in this workplace, but I think we've covered a lot for now.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Click to subscribe. We want to be famous.
Let us know if you like this setup, because we're unsure.
We're going to be doing both. Shannon's in our beautiful San Diego office. I'm in our beautiful Newport Beach office. Her view is better than mine. but we'll be doing both setups. This is a little bit easier, a little bit more sustainable, but the in-person, I think, is just a great experience. A lot of fun doing it. And we're able to really bring some magic when we do that.
Okay. I promise we won't not do that approach. I know it's your favorite. Okay, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
That's a wrap on this episode of All View 360, All Things Real Estate. If you found this helpful, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone navigating their own real estate journey. Connect with us anytime on Instagram at All View 360 and on LinkedIn at All View Real Estate. Until next time, stay curious and keep your perspective 360.